It's December 17th, 2017. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. I'm your host, Aaron Epp. You are listening to a weekly radio program of Canadian Mennonite University. CMU is a university of the church in the world. I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, may we, your people, who look forward to the birthday of Christ, experience the joy of salvation and celebrate that feast with love and thanksgiving. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our speaker on the program this Advent season is Dr. Andrew Dick, Assistant Professor of Ministry Studies at CMU. Thank you, Andrew, for taking the time to speak to us.
For this third Sunday of Advent, our scripture reading is once again rooted in the confident expectation that Jesus Christ will return to set the world right. 1 Thessalonians is probably the earliest recorded letter of Paul. He's addressing relatively new Christians in the Greek city, Thessalonica. Although Paul mentions our Lord's second advent only once in today's reading, Paul has already given considerable attention to Christ's return earlier in this letter. Whether you've followed Jesus for a short time or a long time, this passage encourages all of us to live faithfully while we await Jesus' coming. Listen as Paul closes his letter. I'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you people. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you people entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you people is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These sentences come at the tail end of Paul's lengthy description of how to live and to please God. We're reminded here to be always joyful, to never stop praying, and to be thankful no matter what happens around us. In other words, God wants his children to be delightful people who live in prayerful communion with him. We're also reminded to be open, yet discerning. We should expect the Holy Spirit to speak in fresh ways through the church's prophets, and I think that includes our preachers, but we should receive their messages with discernment, examining what they say, so that we'll retain everything that's good and reject anything that's evil. But at the end of this list of behaviors, Paul turns a corner to outline what God will do instead of what we're to do. First, Paul prays that God will make us entirely holy. He prays that God will keep our spirit, soul, and body complete and blameless at the advent or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. More than that, Paul is convinced that God is going to do exactly this because God is trustworthy. This passage prompts me to ask two big questions. First, why should we be good now if God's going to make us completely holy at Jesus' return? And second, if God is making us entirely complete or sound and blameless, why are our spirits still downcast? Why are our souls reluctant to heed the Spirit? Why do our bodies still struggle with physical and mental illnesses? I see a response to each of these questions in what Paul has written. In light of the first question, why be good, I'm drawn to the closing words of our text. The one who calls you people is faithful, and he will do this. Paul's convinced that God is completely dependable. God promised that the offspring of Eve would crush the serpent's head. In Jesus, God did that. Jesus promised that he would be with his followers until the end. And by his Holy Spirit, Jesus is doing that. So, if God is this trustworthy on our behalf, it's reasonable that we align our lives to match God's desires. It's not just reasonable, in fact, that's the best way to live. In other words, the reason to be good, to be joyful, praying, open, and discerning, is that this is how we participate in the life of God, who is completely reliable to fulfill all his loving promises. As for the second question, why are we still struggling and incomplete? Here I look to the end of verse 23. God's work of sanctifying us, in other words, of making us holy, whole, and blameless, starts now, but will be finished only at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we live with incompleteness, setbacks, and frailties. But at Jesus' return, we'll finally be set right. Now our sight is partial, but then we'll see clearly. Now we experience down payments and installments of God's salvation. But we'll receive our full inheritance at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good reason to rejoice always. Keep on praying and be thankful no matter what. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, sing hallelujah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise the Lord, our great creator, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. May your heart be open to the coming of a Savior in this season. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian University Education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P 2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next week, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.